One of the complaints I get from team leaders has to do with doctors sending underwhelmed patients to the front desk to schedule treatment. In other words, they're not really sold on the treatment. I'm reminded of a time my father and I were driving down a dirt road out in the desert in Arizona, and we saw a rattlesnake that had been run over. And I commented to my dad how nice it would be if we had the rattles off that snake because there was somebody that worked at my office who collected them. So my dad jumped out to get those rattles. He had his pocket knife, and well, to his surprise, it turned out the snake really wasn't ready to part with those rattles yet, and it proved to be quite an interesting scene before it was all over. Fortunately, it all turned out well. But that's what happens to our staff. The doctors send back the patient that isn't ready to give up the money yet. They're underwhelmed. Value hasn't been communicated. So you really want to own this. If you've got patients coming to the front desk and claiming they have money problems, pretty soon you start to think, you know, nobody in our area has money. Well, I can tell you that's simply not true. It's really a 1-2 punch, and I hope you're taking good notes here. Punch number one is the doctor has to communicate value, and we've just described that. Number two, the person making the financial arrangements has to believe with all of her heart that everyone who needs treatment can come up with the money. Now, they may not come up with it themselves. It might be through a relative or a friend, but we have staff who've been able to get large checks out of homeless people. Well, it really didn't come from them, but it came from somebody they knew. So when I say that the patient has to be sold, that's the first half. That's value. The other half is a staff person that really believes everyone has access to the money to get treatment that they really want. So once you have value, that's the doctor, then you have to have this belief on the part of the person making financial arrangements. Let's look at no-shows that occur later than the first, second, or even third visit. Why would a patient no-show after they've been with you for so long? They know how good you are at what you do. They know that you really care about them and that you offer value. Why would you start to see these people no-showing? All right, number one, staff have gotten lax on the follow-up system. We've already covered that. Number two, patients have discovered that your prices are not competitive. This sometimes happens when they talk to neighbors across the back fence. Pretty soon the word gets out. So make sure that you still have prices that are competitive in the mainstream, especially for comparable services, and move on. Number three, you're participating in fewer and fewer insurance plans each year. Make sure that your participation matches the segment of the market that you want to appeal to. Remember, it's all about market share. Number four, it's slowly becoming a bigger hassle to get into your clinic. In other words, you've slowly outgrown your ability to deliver convenience. There's a natural tendency to shift clinic assets to accommodate new patients at the cost of lost convenience to existing patients. Haven't you ever noticed that? We tend to treat our friends that come over a little better sometimes than our own family. Well, in this case, the new friends would be the new patients and the family would be the old patients. This comes about as we naturally and mistakenly assume that our existing patients have a strong enough bond with our clinic that they'll survive being shunted into the unpopular appointment times. We tend to default this way of thinking as we unconsciously cling to the false idea that there's still more unused productive capacity remaining in the practice. If you've traced your no-show problem to this point in the presentation, you'll need to stay mindful of existing patients' view of convenience. They want the popular times bad enough that in spite of their long relationship with your practice, they too will drift away. And finally, where are the no-shows coming from? Walk-ins, referrals, advertising? And why do I ask about the source of the no-shows? It's because knowing this will help you pinpoint the real source of the problem. See, when your no-shows are coming from walk-ins and advertising callers, but your referral patients somehow make it in the door, you know that your receptionist either lacks the necessary verbal skills to reach out to this timid, skittish class of prospective patients. We sometimes refer to this as the Darwinian receptionist. It's sort of a survival of the fittest front desk. Only the most committed, desperate patients get past her. You know, and when this happens, it really makes for a pretty pleasant practice. Nobody with a problem ever gets through the door. Number two, your receptionist is consciously or unconsciously screening callers. It's done in an effort to ensure that, in light of limited practice resources, the least problematic people do come into the practice. It's a natural phenomenon in the overtaxed clinic. And number three, you don't have enough immediate popular appointment times available to accommodate the demanding requirements of callers already and willing to move on to the next name in the yellow pages at the drop of a hat. I warned you earlier that it can actually cost over $1 million to stop patients from missing their appointments. When you've traced your no-show problem to the lack of popular appointment times, or you need more help sitting at the front desk, but there's no place for the additional person that you would hire to sit, you could find yourself faced with an expensive clinic expansion. It's no wonder that doctors with a serious missed appointment problem call hoping for a better script or a simple patient management system to fix the problem. Who wants to think that the missed appointment problem they're facing is really the symptom of underexpansion? But don't let this worry you. It just means that you fully utilized your existing productive capacity and that you've done a good job of managing that capacity. When you can make the phone ring with prospective patient callers but are unable to get them on the schedule, it means you're still doing something right. If you want to grow, however, you're going to have to be committed to doing whatever it takes to accommodate the demand you've generated. In closing, I'd like to mention another likely no-show scenario. A prospective patient calls, again, based on source. They're probably not a referral. They want something that you're reluctant to deliver. This caller has a high no-show profile. The prospect wants a cleaning on the first visit, and they admit that they haven't been to the dentist for over 8 years. When you tell this caller that they're going to have a comprehensive, expensive exam before they get their teeth cleaned, you might get them to schedule, but your chances of actually getting them to show up are low. This happens because the patient will put their name on your schedule and continue to call around until someone promises them over the phone to give them what they want. And don't forget, it's better to deliver bad news in the clinic than over the telephone. I realize that patients will try to pin down your receptionist when they call, asking about prices and so forth. And you may have taught your receptionist to be evasive about quoting specific prices over the phone. For those of you who do this, you may not have noticed, but your high no-show rate proves that it's better to be upfront and risk the caller finding a lower price on his or her next call than to dance around the question until you talk this person into making a bogus appointment. It's better to give a price shopper a range of possible prices, telling them that the doctor will have to see them for a complimentary or cursory exam before exact prices can be quoted. Because the price shopper may appear to be appeased by your "we don't quote prices over the phone" script, their failure to honor that appointment is the confirmation that the approach still didn't work. Those of you who have heard us talk about consumerism, you know, giving patients what they really want, the beginning of consumerism is to acknowledge that referrals are the final confirmation that you've delivered what patients really want. If there's a second statistic that confirms that we're delivering what patients really want and are able to deliver it to all who would be our patients, missed appointments is that statistic. Direct patient referrals is the only statistic in the clinic more revealing than that of missed appointments. The missed appointment number tells you if you're giving the marginal types, walk-ins, advertising patients, what they want on their initial call. It tells if you're providing the convenience sought by both new and existing patients. It tells if your team's up to the job of managing patients. You know, I'm not usually one to stay and watch the credits run at the end of a movie, but some years ago at the end of a Sylvester Stallone movie entitled First Blood, I noticed that after they'd given the names of the third makeup assistant and the key grip, they listed the name of someone referred to as the Rat Wrangler. Now, you may not recall the movie because it was released before you were born, and it wasn't that great to begin with, but there was a scene where Sylvester Stallone is trapped in a cave filled with rats, thus the Rat Wrangler. I really don't know what's involved in being a Rat Wrangler. I don't know if there are any certifications or continuing education requirements, but the ability to get 300 to 400 rats on a set and then get them to perform on cue is probably a monumental undertaking. I doubt, however, that it takes any less energy or focus than is required to get 300 or 400 patients in a clinic at the exact same time or at the exact time they're supposed to be there each month. It takes time on the part of the receptionist, it takes commitment and focus, and it takes a system. We're going to cover that next month. Now, as you're no doubt aware, the politically correct world is always insisting that we change traditional references so that someone or some group isn't offended. If the National Association of Rat Wranglers don't file an official protest, I'm thinking of changing the name of the front desk position in our offices to that of Rat Wrangler. Even though the real Rat Wranglers might find this offensive, I think it could be argued that this title more accurately describes what the front office staff actually spends their day doing. All right, let's sum up the missed appointment statistic and what it actually tells us. The missed appointment statistic Measures number one, your team's patient management systems and verbal skills. Number two, the doctor's ability to communicate value. And number three, the immediate availability of desirable appointment times in the practice. When you're talking about new patients, remember, no-shows are nothing more than an extension of a group of failed prospects. Another part of that same group are people who called and failed to even make an appointment to begin with. They were just more direct with their displeasure about these 3 points I just outlined. The person who calls and fails to make an appointment is just another side of the missed appointment coin. You should be just as upset by the people who fail to even make an appointment. See, I have no doubt that you would be, but you don't know what's happening. I found that even staff who talk to these people all day don't know that it's going on. And the reason is because many of the callers say they'll call back. They're nice enough to not to take an appointment, but they never really intend to call back. See, busy staff, especially those with 6 to 8 of these types of calls per day, they don't have time or the interest to follow up on what happened to all the people who said they were going to check their schedules and call back. Jay Geyer says that the more new patients you're getting in the clinic each month, the more you're likely to be losing. And I personally believe that. If you're getting, say, 30 new patients a month, you probably have access to another 15 if your staff had the verbal skills or more popular times to drop those callers into. Some of you listened last month to my interview with Wes Warren talking about the 5 biggest marketing secrets in practice. After we turned off the recorder, he told me that his average mailing client is currently getting 40 new patients per month from his direct mailing pieces. It was really quite impressive. He's just too modest to admit it. When I tried to pin him down on which offer or which mailing piece he was using to achieve that kind of success, he confided in me that the design of the mailing piece is only part of the battle. Now, I already knew that he insisted that all his mailing clients subject themselves to random audit calls where he has an employee called and pretend to be a patient, and then he scores them. He told me that the ones that get the highest audit call scores will typically get 10 to 15 more new patients per month from the exact same number of the exact same mailing pieces. In other words, it's not just about missed appointments. Those are the losses you're aware of. Only an audit call or a highly trained, super alert receptionist can spotlight these subtle missed appointment opportunities that I'm describing. All right, let's look at the continuum of failed prospects. First, people who may have seen your ad or your Yellow Pages and didn't call. In other words, they chose someone else after having considered you. Number two, prospects that don't schedule and they tell you why. Three, people that don't schedule and say they'll call back. Four, prospects that schedule and don't show up. Five, prospects that schedule, show up for one visit and disappear. And number six, prospects that show up for one or more visits and then quietly quit the practice. It's not until you acknowledge that missed appointments are really the tip of the iceberg that you're ready to take action. I refer to this entire class of no-shows as lost new patients because it covers the continuum, everything from those who never called to those who drop out of care. Which of those is it we really want to lose? None of them. The missed appointment is nothing more than the encounter that tips you off that there may be a problem here. On our recording next month, we're going to lay out a step-by-step system for stopping missed appointments and moving more of the prospective callers into the well-intended class, that is, those who sincerely want an appointment in the clinic. To do this, we're going to have to go deeply into how you answer the difficult questions posed by prospective new patients. Namely, do you take my insurance and how much does it cost for treatment? In order to expand our coverage to those who never even call the office to begin with, I've asked Wes Warren from Zone 5 Marketing to step over and spend a few minutes describing the ideal Yellow Page ad. He'll be going through key points, Yellow Page offers and strategy. Now, you heard me right. He's going to be talking about offers in your Yellow Page ad, how to get your Yellow Page ad chosen by the crocodile hatchlings before they're eaten by the competition. Before I forget, the dates have been announced for the first 2006 Team Leader Seminar. This meeting will be held here in Phoenix on January 20th and 21st. This is the one thing all the White House superstar offices have in common. They all have an outstanding person who's trained to lead the team on the field. It allows the doctor to focus on taking care of patients. No, she's not the office manager. Her job is to diagnose practice blockages and to show you how to fix them, even if it means confronting the doctor. At the team leader meeting, we teach them how to use statistical trends, patient surveys, audit calls, and the basic principles of practice growth to pinpoint practice barriers. Now, in 2006, we're going to do something a little different. We've changed the name of the program from Team Leader to Team Leader Plus. The plus refers to the fact that we're going to be asking the doctor to join the team leader at the seminar. There will be no extra charge for the doctor to attend the meeting alongside the team leader. Although the Team Leader Development Seminar stands alone as the most successful, well-attended seminar we've ever offered at Whitehall, there's a small problem. Some of the team leaders get home, and they feel the doctor doesn't trust them enough to strategize or diagnose the practice. At the Team Leader Plus meeting, the doctor will not only get to see firsthand how well his or her new team leader is trained to guide the practice, but they'll also get to jointly plan the breakout, that is, breaking out to the next level. They'll get to plan the breakout of the practice together. That is, in the midst of the seminar, when belief and energy runs high, the doctor and the team leader can use the statistical models taught at the program to analyze the practice and chart a course for guaranteed growth. In the past, the team leaders return home for the course, infused with energy and excitement and belief in practice transformation. While the team leader is trained and ready to push the practice to the next level, she may struggle to communicate some of the rationale for her proposed changes. She may feel that something specific is needed to move the practice, and that could range from a new computer to a $1,500,000 expansion to hiring an additional doctor. The last team leader meeting sold out long before the seminar date. Don't take a chance on being left out of this great program. See, having someone in the practice who cares as much about growth as you do is great, but having someone who also knows exactly how to move the practice forward with you is nothing short of guaranteed success. Thanks for listening.